So, the hungry partier is with me. Now, that's probably one of the most descriptive blog titles and blogger titles I've come across. Drew, do you really party all the time?
Yeah, you know, I try to have fun in every country I go to. That name sort of was created because I love food and I love nightlife. I love meeting people. So you can pretty much say in 90% of the countries, I enjoy going to the bars, clubs, and just meeting people.
So you've been doing this for 4 years now, and you've been to 76 countries?
77 countries, yeah, since 2012.
How much has the blog evolved in the years that you've been doing it then?
It has evolved quite a lot, actually. When I first started, I was mostly just writing for my friends, like about my travel stories and stuff. And then as you get a bigger audience, your writing starts to evolve. And I started writing more about the things I'm interested in, specifically going on adventures, nightlife guides, food guides around the world. So the more you write, the better you can find your voice, kind of thing.
So when you go and read your really early stuff, do you rewrite it, or do you sort of cringe a bit and think, oh, I don't write like that now? Have you changed your style at all?
I think I have gotten to be a better writer. I don't really change my old posts. I kind of look back at them and laugh, and like, that's pretty funny that I wrote that. But actually, these days I'm transitioning more into doing more social media, like Snapchat and Instagram, as opposed to just writing articles on my website.
You find that pictures seem to engage people better?
Absolutely. Pictures on Instagram and then Snapchat, so it's really sort of a new social media platform, but it's basically videos, live videos everywhere I'm going. It's more of like an authentic, behind-the-scenes, real-life experience, so people can follow my travels that way. And I've gotten some really good feedback from my followers, so pretty much putting all my eggs in one basket with Snapchat.
So that's interesting, because it's a positive and negative, really. Positive, I suppose, in that you've got less writing to do, which means a bit less work. But also, you've got to be on all the time, haven't you?
Yeah, that's correct. So with Snapchat, you have to really have daily content, because people are going to want to see what you're doing. You can't really like take a week off, because then that's only going to hurt you. So I'm constantly thinking of new ideas, where I'm going to go, what I'm going to show people. Like right now I'm in New York City, so I'm trying to plan events for what people want to see, trying to hit some cool restaurants that, you know, really New York food. And it's also stuff that I want to be doing. I'm not just doing it for the followers' sake, but I'm always thinking about what I got to be showing.
But in a way, people are, I guess, living their lives through you, aren't they? There'll be people who will be unable to ever travel, who are seeing what you're doing, and they're being with Drew wherever you are.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. I mean, I get a lot of good feedback from people, and it's cool. Like, I always respond to my followers, so if they have any advice, they're like, oh, you're in New York City, you should go here, or you should meet me here. I live here, I'd like to show you around, or thank you for showing me this part of the city. So it's really cool to have that interaction with my followers.
How long has the blog, The Hungry Partier, how long has it basically been your full-time job?
About 2 years now. It's been my full-time job. I started it 4 years ago when I was teaching English in South Korea, and it was sort of like a side job, and I worked on it really hard for about a year and a half, 2 years, and then when I left Korea, it just sort of transitioned into my full-time job. I started getting sponsors with brands and working with tourism boards who are funding my travels pretty much.
So was it a concerted plan, or did it just happen organically that you were able to do it full time?
To be honest, it kind of was a plan, because I knew that I wanted to keep traveling. So I worked really hard to make that happen. It all kind of, I didn't realize how big it would have gotten necessarily. I think in the last year specifically, it's really blown up as far as the amount of followers and readers to my blog. But I kind of had this idea in mind, this lifestyle that I wanted to live.
Was there one key event that really drove the number of followers you had and the amount of interest you had from commercial sponsors?
Yeah, so I started writing for Huffington Post about 6 months ago, and then that obviously gives me exposure to a bigger audience, a much bigger audience. So every time I write a blog post for them, it gets viewed I don't know how many thousand times, and then people start following me on other social media. So that was one big jump doing that.
So now I guess you get lots of people approaching you.
Correct.
How do you decide what to do and what not to do? Because if you get lots of offers, in a way, well, certainly initially, I would have thought human nature would be that you want to take them all, but you right. Can't, can you? And you've also got to keep a bit of quality control.
Right. So I actually just turned down an offer to go to China today. It was like an all expenses paid trip with additional cash. But I mean, I know which places that I want to go to, and I'm not only going to take a trip just for the money. I'd rather just kind of do what I want to do. Like, for example, I went to Fiji recently. That was already a plan. I was going to go on my own anyways. But I teamed up with the tourism board there, and then they sponsored the trip. So that was wonderful. But yeah, I don't go on every trip that I'm offered.
So do you have a kind of audience in mind then, that the people that you're writing for, that would encourage you to turn down certain offers because they wouldn't really appeal to the your followers?
Say that one more time, sorry.
Do you have a kind of an audience in mind? Can you write appealing to a certain group? So you would turn down some offers because you think, well, they're not going to be interested in that.
Kind of, yeah. My audience is mostly 18 to 24 year olds. I would say half Americans, half people that live in other countries all over the world. But I kind of know which destinations that people are more interested in hearing because I've heard feedback and I know what the sort of buzz is about. And I think, going back to the China example, I think that if I went there, people wouldn't be so interested in hearing about that, as opposed to Fiji or some other country like that.
So what is the magic thing that Fiji or Singapore has? What is the whole reason for going to report from those places that would make you choose them and not China?
They have a much more interesting culture. I guess I'm being a little bit biased here, but this is just my opinions. They have an interesting culture. They're a lot more affordable destinations. Anywhere in Southeast Asia really is very cheap to access, and the lifestyle and the standard of living is much lower. Food, accommodations is much cheaper. And I just think it would be a much more enjoyable trip to promote those sort of destinations because I've been to them and I know what is good and what's not. I mean, I'm being a little bit biased here again, but
it's your blog, isn't it? It's about
right,
you.
Exactly. That's right.
So how long's the longest period you've spent on the road, as it were?
Away from the States, I think it was about 12 months, about a year. I try to come home every 3 to 6 months because my family and friends are here and I gotta, I gotta come back and see them. But as of right now, my plan is to keep traveling. I'm going to South America for 3 months this summer, and then probably going to go to Africa after that.
Do you ever get moments where you think, actually, I just wish I was back in my own bed?
To be honest, not really. I don't really get homesick. I don't know, maybe it's weird for me. A lot of people do feel that way, but for me, I always want more. I've only been in America for a week now, and I'm already ready for a new adventure.
Let's talk a bit more about the amount of work that you have to do behind the scenes. We touched on it very briefly, the fact that you're trying to get content every day for Snapchat, but that makes it sound really, really easy, doesn't it? And actually, this to get the sort of following you've got, you've got to put a lot of effort in. How do you approach it? Over an average day, let's say you're awake for 16 hours a day. So how much time are you spending just on managing your social media or your own marketing?
I probably spend 6 to 8 hours every day coming up with ideas, figuring out how to execute them, teaming up with other influencers and other brands for certain campaigns. So it's really a full-time job. I mean, I just spent 3 hours at Starbucks before our call working on upcoming projects and then figuring out how I'm going to execute them. So there's a lot more work behind the scenes than it looks on Snapchat, that's for sure.
So is a lot of it stuff you've planned well in advance? Do you work a kind of strategy and you'll feature a little element of one place and then 6 months later go somewhere else and then merge it all together for a finished piece?
Not really. I kind of like every destination is separate. So right now I'm starting to plan Snapchat events or stories for South America. So I'm attending the Olympics in Brazil in August. So I'm already talking with several brands right now for different stories, and they're telling me what angles they want me to capture. So I'm going to do a takeover for brand X, and then they're going to tell me exactly what they want me to show, and then I'm just going to go there and capture it for them. But it helps to start planning it a few months in advance or a few weeks, just so I can sort of get an idea, so I'm not like scrambling once I'm there.
So if you were going to somewhere where perhaps there's less infrastructure, maybe less brand influence, let's say Vanuatu in the South Pacific, the way you've just been, How would you plan your time there? Because I guess it isn't that structured as obviously the host of the World Cup is going to be, is it?
Right. It is a bit more challenging that way. There's not many resources to look up online. Actually, if you Google search for Vanuatu, there's hardly any blog posts about it. So it's a bit more challenging, but I usually figure it out once I go there. I spent a week in Vanuatu. I was staying at a pretty nice hotel who I was working with, and then I planned events for that whole week once I arrived. And then after I planned the events, then I sort of figured it out. I mean, it doesn't take, it's not that much. You don't have to be there for that long to figure it out. But those sort of countries are more challenging.
How do you divide what you've done between the different social media platforms? How do you decide what goes on Twitter, what goes on Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook?
Sure. So over time, I've dabbled with all the social medias, and I've just, it's pretty overwhelming as a one-man band like myself. It's pretty hard to manage every social media. So I've sort of just now focusing on Snapchat and Instagram, because those have proven to be the best way to engage with my audience. So Snapchat takes the most time because it's, like I said, it's daily content, videos. Instagram, I have like thousands of travel pictures that I kind of schedule out on Instagram. So that's actually pretty easy. It just takes maybe like 30 minutes a day to figure out Instagram.
And what about Facebook? Are you finding that less influential?
Kind of. I do post on Facebook, but I mean, I don't know. I'm not seeing the amount of engagement and the amount of return from it, so I'm spending less time on it. But I am using it. I just think with my sort of demographic, with my friend group and people that are following my blog, I think they're using Facebook less and less, and they're using Snapchat more and more. So that's sort of why I'm focusing more on Snapchat.
Now let's talk about some of the places that you've been.
Sure.
You've been to so many. Have you ever been to, you don't necessarily have to name the destination or the venue, but have you ever been somewhere where you've been there perhaps as a guest of an agency, a tourism body, and you've got there and there's just nothing you can really do?
Like I don't like it, or it's really
Well, it could be bad. It could just be that it's a bit run down, or they're just not geared up for your readership.
Yeah, I won't say the cities, but there are certain places in India that I arrived and I just felt really uncomfortable. I feel like I couldn't get any work done, and it was it's a bit frustrating situation. But, you know, when that happens, you just have to make the best of it and just kind of play it by ear and figure out how you're going to move on.
People read you for recommendations. So how do you tackle that then? If you go somewhere and it's a bit of a dive, basically.
Right, right.
How do you get that over without being really nasty?
Right. I try not to be too negative, but I am really honest and authentic. And I think that's why people like me, like reading my stuff, because I try to give them the real picture. I had some bad experiences in India. I was on a bus crash, actually. In the middle of the night, the bus flipped over the freeway, and I wrote a really honest article of my whole experience and how it really scared me. And people can connect with me that way. I'm not going to lie to people and say that something is great if it's not. So, you know, that's what people read my blog for.
Out of places, cities or countries which have been hyped up, have there any that you visited been a bit of a disappointment?
Are the ones that have been hyped up? I would say some Western European countries. To be honest, France, like I went to France. I guess it's pretty hyped up among Americans, like Paris. Everyone wants to go to Paris. And I don't think it's so special. That's just one example that came to mind. In Asia, everything that's sort of hyped up, as far as I know, Thailand, Vietnam, Japan, in those countries are all incredible. And there's also a few other ones that aren't hyped up that are amazing, such as Myanmar and the Philippines and Indonesia. Those are three of my favorite countries in the world.
Okay, well, we've recently reported Philippines, but it is a big place. So what would your tip in the Philippines be? Where would you suggest people go to?
Sure. I've been to the Philippines 8 times, actually.
Well, you like it then.
Countries. Yeah, I love it. So there are 7,000 islands there, so it might be a bit hard to choose which one you want to go to. But I would recommend Palawan. It's on the west. It's like a chain of islands. Specifically El Nido or Coron. Those are two different islands within Palawan. Those are incredible. It's very, very, very cheap. You can stay on like a beautiful hut on the beach for like $10. Your meals are going to cost $1 to $2 each. You can go scuba diving. The people are really friendly. Another island is called Sikihor. It's Sikuijor. That's a pretty cool, really laid-back island. But if you guys want any more Philippines recommendations, just email me or look on my blog, and I've written a lot about it.
And out of all of the places you've been in the world, what's the best?
I would say Vietnam. I just got back from my third trip there, and I just really, really enjoy the people and the lifestyle. It's super laid back. Once again, very cheap. You can get a bowl of pho noodles, which are the famous Vietnamese ones, for like 50 cents. And it's just, I was renting an Airbnb for $15 a night, two bedroom with a big, you know, TV room, and it's just wonderful. So I would say Vietnam.
What place must a traveler see in Vietnam?
I would say Hanoi, which is a big city in the north, and Ha Long Bay, which is sort of a tourist attraction on the coast. But I would say Hanoi is a wonderful city.
Why did you like Hanoi?
I liked Hanoi. It's just very, very laid back. People are really kind everywhere you go. They're almost like over the top welcoming. You'll walk around and people will invite you into their house for some tea, or they just want to get to know you. And it's a really good feeling as a traveler, being welcomed into a country, because many times I've traveled and the people just aren't interested in talking to me or getting to know me. So that's the reason why.
How did you cope with crossing the road there with all of the little motorbikes scooting around you?
Right. So there are motorbikes everywhere, almost more motorbikes than people. Just kind of, you just walk across and you have to keep the same speed. If you slow down or speed up, then they're going to hit you. But if you just walk a normal speed, then they'll go around you.
It's the most difficult thing to get your head around, isn't it?
Right. The first time you do it, it's insane. It's kind of like the game Frogger, if you've ever played Frogger before. But it's surprising that there are no accidents. Everything just flows on the streets normally, and it's quite interesting.
Now, more and more people are, of course, going to Vietnam. You're going back again. You've been there multiple times. So have you found places that are very much off the beaten track that are worthy of travel to?
Yeah, I recommend renting a motorbike or a motorcycle in Vietnam, and just kind of, this is a pretty popular thing to do, you just kind of renting it and driving around, even if it's for 2 days or for 2 weeks, and you just kind of going off in the villages and just get yourself a map and just go off. I can't recommend exactly the name of the cities that I were in, because they were really small, they're more like towns, but get yourself a bike, it's really cheap, I think, I don't know. $10 a day, and just ride around and you'll have a great time.
What is the best travel advice you can give our listeners?
The best travel advice would be to learn at least a few words in the local language of any country you're visiting. It means a lot just to say hello, thank you, my name is, or how are you, because first of all, many people can't speak English, so they're survival words to know. But even if they can speak English, it means a lot to them. It's more of a cultural thing. But I would definitely say try to learn at least 10 words in every country, in every language.
And have you got any tried and tested tips for making sure you don't spend too much money on your flights? Because those are usually the crippling things, aren't they?
Right. The two search engines that I always use are Google Flights and Kayak.com. I find those to be the best. They give you a good overview of all the different airlines, the cheapest days to fly. You have all different options, flexible dates. I've used all the other ones over the years, and I would say Google Flights and Kayak are the best.
And when it comes to accommodation, again, have you got any, you mentioned Airbnb, have you found any really good accommodation providers that are cheap?
Sure. Airbnb is wonderful. If you're traveling with two or more people, I recommend it, because you just rent out a place and you split the price between friends. If you're traveling alone, it can be a bit more expensive, kind of like a hotel. But if you're a solo traveler and you're a bit more adventurous, I recommend Couchsurfing. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Couchsurfing or not, but basically you get connected with a local that lives in a certain city, and it's free. You can stay at their house, whether it's on a couch or on a bed or whatever they have, and it's awesome. They'll show you around the city, etc.
So what's next then for the Hungry Partier in terms of your blog? Have you got new developments in the pipeline, Drew?
Yeah, I'm actually transforming Hungry Partier into more of a communal site with like multiple writers who want to share, focused on nightlife guides, because that's sort of where I found my niche. But I'm launching drewbinsky.com, which is my new blog, travel blog. It's sort of a more personal, more professional site, sort of revolving around Snapchat and a little bit more of my travel tips, as opposed to like top 10 places to party in whatever city. Sort of more of a personal website.
I mean, partying is obviously different in any city that you go to, in the sort of style and vibe. But is there anywhere that's really impressed you about the way that there's such a buzz and a vibe when people get together?
Yeah, so Seoul, South Korea, that country and city is absolutely bizarre. You're talking like nothing closes until 8 in the morning. Everybody's out drinking with their friends every night of the week. Street food is open 24/7. The nightclubs are just electric, almost like Las Vegas nightclubs, like those sort of huge big room. DJs from all over the world go there. So Seoul in Asia, and then in Europe, I would say cities like Berlin, Prague, Budapest, those cities always catch me by surprise.
I'm interested, you haven't really gone for the sort of beach resorts. Are those too cliched, or are they just too busy?
The beach resorts?
Yeah, a lot of people, when they talk about nightlife, most people who aren't professional travellers will talk about Ibiza, that kind of place.
Yeah, I haven't been to Ibiza yet, but I hope to go soon. But I guess those are a bit too touristy. I mean, I don't know, I guess that's kind of stupid to say that. I'll really go anywhere, but I sort of focus on like bigger cities and sort of nightlife guides, like bars and clubs and different venues around those cities.
Where have you had the cheapest beer?
Cheapest beer is definitely Vietnam. 20 cents a beer. I don't know how many pounds that would be, like 10 pence or something.
That'd be about 10 pence.
Incredible. 10 pence for a beer, yep.
Wow. I'm booking a flight.
Right.
Well, thank you, Drew. It's been good to talk to you.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Tell me where we can find you online.
Yeah, so on Snapchat and Instagram, my username is @Drewbinsky, DrewBinsky. And then my blog is thehungrypartier.com.